Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, welcome back to another episode of High Heat. Welcome, guys. We're doing something a little different this episode. We're actually in person for this one, so welcome, Shelby.
Welcome.
Sitting here next to each other, we've usually been trying to, even though we're still using Skype, but it's the we're using what we got because we've been all around the city of Fort Worth trying to find a place to do this at, and ended up just deciding to do it in the vehicle. So we're sitting in a parking lot in the vehicle, bringing you guys another episode just because we're that dedicated to you guys. So yeah, we're sitting here still using Skype though, but hopefully the audio gets a little better because we're in person now. So
I think it'll be good. You know, we'll start tinkering more with the laptops and the microphones, getting everything together there as well. Yeah. But we were hoping to have all that set up today, you know, kind of in a little public library room, but you had one solo person sitting facing everybody, acting like they were studying. But
yeah, take a whole room to study. You had the whole library to study, but then you choose the room and then you face everybody. I don't. Doesn't make sense.
Sitting here with the lights off too.
Yeah. But I forgot the mic anyway, so it didn't matter anyways. I got up at like early this morning and drove the wife and mother-in-law down to DFW Airport. They're flying out to Kenya again and go see my mother-in-law's grandkids and my nieces and nephew and brother-in-law. And Shelby lives down south of Fort Worth, so we decided to meet up together in Fort Worth and shoot one in person, our first one. And we try to tell you we're trying to make it better each time, and hopefully this is better. We'll see.
It should be a good one. We got some good stuff coming for you, and we're going to kick it off with a little NCAA disappointment football.
The big topic of the week after all the conference championship games, all the scenarios, situations. I think the college football playoff committee had their hands full with the worst case scenario. Actually, it may not be worst case for them to decide. Do you want to elaborate on that a little more?
Well, if you go ultimate worst case, everybody knew Iowa wasn't going to touch Michigan. Okay, that one's pretty much a lock. What if Oregon ends up knocking off Washington? And then, Alabama beat Georgia. And then Louisville, what if they would have beat Florida State? I mean, there's one of your worst-case scenarios.
Yeah, do you think it would have been worse with Louisville winning or Florida State winning? Because with Florida State winning, I mean, it leaves an obvious choice, but apparently not. So do you think Louisville winning makes it harder, or does FSU winning make it harder?
Well, if you're counting all those other teams losing as well, if Louisville wins, yeah. I think it's just like it's almost a perfect storm of crap.
Yeah.
Which direction do you go? What do you do? To me, the obvious choices were your undefeateds / your conference champions. There's your nods right there.
Yeah, basically for me, when I saw it laid out on the table, was that the committee had two choices: to do what was right by all their standards, rules, regulations, what they suggest you should do to make it in the college football playoffs, and then the other one they had what would be the most exciting to watch, or the best fan base that would make the most money. And we got to see what they went with. They went with the most exciting, best matchups, type thing. With you had Michigan at one, you had Washington at two, Texas moved up to three, and then you moved in Alabama to four. So yeah, Michigan playing in Alabama, and you have Washington playing Texas.
The NCAA still owes Florida State a formal apology.
Yeah.
A formal apology.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the biggest crybabies in NCAA feeling like they're being left out because they think that they're just the daddy of all conferences. I'm sorry, you had a losing record this year against Power 5 schools.
Yeah, SEC did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Florida State, third-string quarterback. I don't care who you are. You go and you win your conference championship. Mm-hmm. That shows, you know, your defense stepped it up for you.
Yes.
You did what you had to do to win.
Yes.
So they're going to say, well, they should have had, you know, Alabama and Florida State play a play-in game. No. You have Alabama and Texas play a play-in game. Oh, wait, they already did earlier in the year.
Yeah.
In which Alabama lost by double digits on their home turf to none other than the University of Texas.
Yes.
So, to me, your top four in that scenario, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Texas, in that order. You can make an argument for Washington at one, just because what they accomplished and what they did to Oregon twice. But they didn't want an SEC team left out because they didn't want to hear a whole conference crying versus, well, it's just one team. You know, they'll be whining about it. But there's a lot of upset people.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more outcry than what they thought. And then there's so much division on this to where you just have – it pretty much came down to the conferences. I've heard so many fights about you cannot not have an SEC team in the college football playoffs. Well, yes, you can if you didn't play good enough or you destroyed yourself enough to not get anybody in there. I just think that you just put an undefeated conference champion should get in there in the Power Five. That's why you have the Power Fives, is to prove that these are the five best conferences in the country. And you got in the regular season, SEC went 4-6 against ACC teams. So tell me who was the more power conference, you know, but after the top, what, four SEC teams, five SEC teams, they're just par average, you know, after that bottom of the barrel.
Well, look what Florida State did to, was it a then number five ranked LSU? Mm-hmm.
First game out of the year.
Throttled them.
Yeah, that was a commanding win for FSU. That's where people knew that FSU was on the map.
And they had another big, who's the other big game?
They beat Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Another SEC team, even though people are saying, well, Florida's not down this year. Let's say again. So, yeah. But, yeah, they went Florida. They beat a Miami team. They beat a Louisville, top ranked 20 team. Who else did they beat SEC-wise? Let's see. But, yeah, you can't not say that it's a power conference when you go 4-6 against ACC. Or you say the ACC is not a more powerful conference than SEC when they beat you 6 times out of 10.
They beat Clemson.
Clemson.
Who's usually always pretty good. They beat a then number 16 ranked Duke.
Yes.
So, I mean, what else do you want? What else do they have to do?
Well, to me, if you don't look at records and you say who's the best teams right now, I would say the college football playoff maybe got it right. You might switch Georgia for Texas. How do you feel about that?
And speaking of Georgia, they're the first team in the last 3 or 4 seasons of the playoff to be number one the whole year, lose their conference championship, and get bumped out of the top four.
To go on a 29 game win streak?
Yes.
In the SEC, so 3 years in a row of undefeated play, excluding the conference championship, and you win, and then you lose to a number 7, not like a number 20 or 25 or unranked team, a number 7, Alabama, who they're so high on. If Bama's so good and Georgia only got beat by 3, how does Georgia get kicked out?
Yep.
That's the question.
Yep.
I know you go head-to-head with how does Alabama get in. Well, they put Texas in there to do the head-to-head. But then again, you got an undefeated. Texas lose to a number, 17 in the year? OU played them, Red River?
Yeah.
It was somewhere around 15, 17, somewhere in there. They lose to that, but then they beat a number 22 to OSU and a conference champion. Mm-hmm. But Florida State beat a number 12 Louisville, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. to win it. So you go off players. If we start going off players, I think that's a slippery slope on who's available, who's what. You know, hey, there's a quarterback hurt. They're not the best team anymore.
So what about Ohio State when they were on their third-string quarterback when they won it?
Yes. Yes, I've heard the defense, though, too, is where their third string beat who was it? Big Ten championship. They won like 55-0. That's the only other defense I've heard about a third stringer where third string Florida State won by a touchdown against Louisville. But then again, Florida State's backup quarterback was coming back and was ready for playoffs. So you were not going to have a third stringer in the playoffs. You're going to have a second stringer that won two games going into the mm-hmm. playoffs. So I don't know where you start choosing on who's on the roster instead of going by the criteria. Do you have the criteria down to get into the college football playoff?
And if you go off replacing Georgia with Texas, well, then you're basically essentially you're replacing Georgia in Alabama's spot. Because then you got to go the head-to-head with Texas and Alabama. Bye, Bama. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of a slippery slope, though, to where you had certain criteria that I feel like they went by to put people in.
And Georgia's strength of schedule is what screwed them overall because they kept playing cupcakes.
Yeah. Well, that might be on
it's a bullet point.
Smart. Curve so smart. It's,
it, yeah. Curve yeah. smart. Strength of schedule. These are rankings criteria.
Okay.
Strength of schedule, head-to-head games, results versus teams in top 25, results versus common opponents, and conference championships.
Yeah. And then that goes to argue where you're saying, well, Bama's dominating. They shouldn't have beat Auburn, who Auburn lost to a New Mexico State, got throttled by New Mexico mm-hmm. State, 31-something. Mm-hmm. So everybody says, oh, it's rivalry. Oh, yeah. Well, if you're that good to be a top four team, shouldn't you throttle your rival? You know, I just don't know where.
Who else did they struggle against? Northern Alabama?
Yeah, did they?
Yeah, and I think, did they play UCF too?
Yeah, I think that was a close one, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it's – so you're looking at their – if you're going off the quote-unquote eye test – what if that eye test is even appealing?
It seems to me, though, that where they used some rules to get Texas and Bama in there and then ignored others to put Georgia in there, you know. And like you said, to go from a 1 to a 5 on a 3-point loss to a number 17.
Arkansas, A&M, they narrowly beat.
Yeah. And then they showed the video of Michigan during the viewing or whatever, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are saying that they got it right because Michigan was scared that they got Alabama where everybody was quiet or whatnot. That may be true, but honestly, my thoughts on it watching it was that they were so shocked that Florida State didn't get in.
Yes.
That they were blown away that Florida State didn't get in. I bet you if you watched any other room, Washington or Texas, you know, and they were watching Florida State not get in, I bet you it was the same kind of tone around the room of them being in awe and shock, like, wow, like, they didn't get in.
And then you watch Alabama's room, it's like Saban had already told them, hey, we're getting in, just act normal. Mm-hmm. Don't jump around.
Yeah.
Which I get it, that's a professional coach, but at the same time, you're not going to act that, oh, okay, golf clap.
Yeah.
You're still going to be some hooting and hollering.
Yeah, because you jump from 7 to 4.
Yeah.
But yes, credit to them, they did beat the number one team in the nation. Credit to them. They have the value win there. But then when you have a 3-point win against Arkansas, who was below 500.
6-point win against A&M.
Yeah. 17-3 against South Florida. You lose to Texas at home. And then the only other team, you know, Middle Tennessee, that's not going to strengthen your schedule. Austin Peay, you know, that was last year, sorry. Kansas State was a good win. I mean, other than that, Mississippi, Ole Miss. And then, would you say Tennessee was a good win?
14 points.
Yeah. And then LSU, quality win there. But
that LSU game was closer than it showed. LSU missed a couple field goals. They had an interception that turned into a Alabama touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Alabama didn't get that two-score victory until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And talking about earlier where you said Bama was probably already expecting to be in, talk about Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN analyst.
This is a bad look.
So he goes on his show to kind of give his spiel about who should be in this and that and has different helmets in the background. Well, 10 minutes before the announcement, he miraculously has the four teams that got in helmets in the background 10 minutes before everything was released. So they say they're not supposed to, nobody was supposed to know until they finally announce it. But you have Kirk Herbstreit with the four exact helmets that made it
in order,
in order behind him as his backdrop.
In which I guess earlier in the day had Florida State and Bama spot.
Yes. Yes. So tell me how that works, you know.
Fishy.
Very fishy. So you can't tell me that ESPN's not involved and have their hand in that.
Well, it's all about viewership and ratings.
Yes. And that's what ultimately we think it comes down to is...
Oh, we don't want another TCU. Okay, what... Don't even start with me on that one.
But TCU had to beat a Michigan that's in there now.
Yeah.
TCU had to beat a Michigan that who you got ranked number one now. So don't put Michigan in there saying we don't want another Michigan at number one if they're going to get beat first round.
Yeah.
That's your same argument as we don't want a TCU. So what do you do about them?
Exactly. It's college football. Mm-hmm. It's teenage boys and early 20s kids all playing. You don't know who's going to show up that day.
Yeah.
You can coach them, have them ready. It's up to them to show up. And obviously, if Michigan would have played the first half like they did the second half against TCU, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes. So tell me this, though. They had this big outcry of, oh, we hate the – what was the one before college football playoffs? The
BCS.
BCS. Oh, we hate the BCS. Oh, we hate this. We want a committee. We want a committee. The BCS did by the numbers who should be in. And if you looked at the numbers with all the people that were projected to make it in, I think FSU had like a 94% chance of getting in before the actual committee voted. And I think Bama had like a 4 or 5% chance getting in. So those projections, those percentages are probably by a computer to show who should get in. So if you kept the BCS type of thing, I always thought they should have did an integrated thing, keep the BCS system.
Yep.
To pick the playoffs. So if you had that, then you have, they don't go by the eye test, because that's basically what got Bama in, was the eye test.
BCS went by style points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you beat this opponent you were supposed to beat by this many points? No? Oh, sorry. You're going to drop a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you went out and beat the crap out of the number five team and you're not ranked? Well, okay, you're going to jump. And they're going to fall.
Yeah.
You know, if you lost early in the year, all right, well, you still got a chance to get back up there. You lost late in the year, sorry. Tough luck.
I just think we have all these different algorithms and computer help and AI and all this stuff that can help you with who deserves to get in there. You know, because like I said, the committee had two chances. They had to do what was right by their own standards, by their own rules, what to do was right. Or what to do to make the most money.
And they chose the money route.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
You know, I'm surprised. Their cop-out would have been, this is honestly too hard to choose. We're going to the 18 system this year.
They could have shot that in there, but that would have been wild.
Well.
It would have been wild to put the 18 team to say, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to put it in.
Well, don't you think it would have been more worth it than what they did?
Yeah. I think. No matter how many teams you put into the playoffs, there's always going to be someone complaining. Yes. But I would rather less hear of a who's fighting for the 12th seed than who's fighting for the 4th seed. Because you can have, like as shown this year, 5 or 6 solid teams. And then after that, it says, you know, you're fighting for 11th, 12th seed, and you leave a 13, 14 out that said they could have maybe been 11th, 12th. Not too many people are going to make a big stink about that. I mean, you're going to have fan bases that cause a stink about it. But for me, I think it should be, if that when they do go to the 12 team, which is happening next year, you should do automatic bids for the conference champion, Power 5 automatic champions. Mm-hmm. So if you have an underdog, say if an Iowa beat a Michigan, those two teams automatically get in because Michigan would be the higher rank. They'd make top 12. and then Iowa would get in for an automatic bid of being a Big Ten champion.
So you're telling me that the Georgia-Bama game would have, I mean, makes sense.
Both teams would have been in.
Yeah.
And then whoever you wanted to rank higher, if you did want to skip Alabama over Georgia, Bama would get a harder first round, not get the bye and have to play a team. But then again, you still show that matchup to where they eventually would have to play again or meet in a championship. So
I think they should go to 16 teams and nobody gets a bye.
Yeah. But I mean, what's the point of getting top four, just playing a lower seed?
I mean, it's like the argument in baseball right now. Well, these teams that get a bye, they come out and they're not ready to play.
Yeah.
I mean, these boys are conditioned to play, right?
Yeah.
You get one bye during the year to catch your breath. You know, if you have the hot hand, you don't want to buy. You want to continue rolling. You want to continue playing.
I can see that, but football also with injuries and maybe prep work, you prep for one team. But then again, you don't know who's going to win. You're waiting on a bye. You got two teams to prep for. Football is a little different, I think, than baseball, to where a bye week could benefit you more. Baseball, you don't want a bye week, especially with like the wild card. We talked about that last episode. 6 days off, 8 days off is detrimental for a baseball player, but for a football player, maybe an extra week, maybe an extra 3 days, 4 days, you know.
Well, do you think college is any different than the NFL? I mean, because they're playing, what, four less games?
Yeah.
You're regular in the season?
No. But most NFLs, I think you see after a bye week there, but they know who they're playing also the next week.
But, I mean, the same playoff thing, though. You're still preparing for two teams. Which one we got to
– Yeah. I mean, 16, no byes. You get the one ranked seed because you're going to play a 16th ranked team. You know, that's your bonus. That's what you get. You're fighting for one to play, you know, where Michigan, they're playing for a one seed. They're like, hey, we finally got one seed. We're going to be playing a four seed. And then they get a Bama, you know.
If you're going off these 16, Michigan would play Notre Dame.
Michigan would play Notre Dame at 16.
And that's going off the ESPN app.
Yeah.
Washington would be playing Louisville.
Yeah.
Texas, Arizona, Alabama, LSU again, Florida State, OU, Georgia, Ole Miss, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, Missouri.
That'd be some good matchups too.
I mean, and you're knocking out interconference teams, so you're not going to have a
SEC versus SEC.
Big Ten, SEC, yeah. SEC, ACC, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Do you think they should go by rankings like that, or should they go by conferences, like pin them together, reevaluate with the rankings there?
What do you think?
So, like, instead of having put two SEC teams against each other that are in the playoffs, or just go by rankings, like 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15,
well, if you want to keep viewership up, you're going to put the same conference together.
Yeah.
I don't care if they are 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Put them together. Because nobody wants to have, like, what they had several years ago. Was it LSU and Bama in the national championship?
Yeah. I think Georgia and Bama played once, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure SEC fans loved it because they're like, oh, SEC's power cut. Well, you can have down years. You're not the best every time just because you've won so many. You know, yeah, you might be better than most, but I don't know. It's just tough because I do see the side of other people where they said, well, if you play FSU versus a Michigan or a Georgia, would they win? You don't know that. You don't know that, but you are playing against a backup quarterback. It's just tough to know that. But they deserved to be in there. You know, their defense didn't lack anything. Their defense deserves to go there. You know, they're one of the best defenses in the country. That's what hurts me the most, is seeing that all those seniors that worked so hard for 4 years go undefeated, which is unheard of for, you know, there's a handful of teams that can say they did that each year. Granted, what, three this year?
Yep.
Washington, Michigan, and Liberty, I think, are the three undefeated teams. Texas was one. I don't know. I mean, like you said, FSU, that's their main argument, is that FSU wouldn't stand a chance against anybody. Well,
how do you know unless you play?
Did anybody think TCU had a chance against, you know, Michigan? Coming in Michigan?
Wasn't Michigan like a double digit favorite or something like that?
you don't know until you play the games. That's why you play the game, is to give the undefeated Power 5 conference champion a chance, you know, and just to kick them out, they set the precedent of, we don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm. Don't care who
we're
going
to put who we think the best four teams are.
Yep.
So that's what's kind of hard to swallow, because that's what that's the precedent they set, and it's going to be that way until they do something different.
What cracks me up is this is the CFP playoff rankings. Mm-hmm. The AP 25, it doesn't even have Alabama in the top four.
There you go. So, yeah, so, I mean, that was the AP ranking that's NCAA, or is that ESPN?
This is the ESPN CFP rankings.
Okay.
Which is different from what you found. I guess that's your NCAA.
I think mine was, the one that was on there was Fox. So, I mean, everybody's got different ones. So, what do they go by do they go by the NCAA rankings? Right? So, you don't know. I mean, what do you do if you're Florida State or Georgia now? You're playing each other. Georgia's going to look to come out to dominate FSU. Both of them are going to have a grudge match. What if Florida State just doesn't show up?
What if Georgia doesn't show up? What if these boys come out like, well, we're not playing. We're declaring for the draft. We're not playing this ball game. Or what if Florida State comes out, they're doing the pregame stuff, they're ready to play, and right before coin flip, they don't come out on the field. Guess who's losing a boatload of money trying to scramble and do what they got to do? I would laugh, and I would back them all the way.
I could see it happening, to be honest with you, that they're gonna go through all their motions and then just not show up on the field when it comes time.
Mm-hmm.
And
apparently Florida State's in the mix of figuring out if they can sue the committee and all that.
Legal action is, because there's a lot of money that goes towards the Final mm-hmm. Four. They get cash for making the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Champion gets cash for winning it. Coaches get bonuses for making it to the CFP. There's a lot of stuff there to where that's the thing, though, is you leave it into a person's hands, and something can always go crazy. There's 13 members, I think, in the CFP committee, 12 guys and one girl, I think, are in it. And they're just choosing who they think is the four best team. And you can't tell me that emotions or eye test is going to be a decision factor in there. And that's where I was like, why is everybody so mad about the BCS? It's because it takes out that human factor and puts who on paper is the best team.
Yep.
Best two teams. Think about if you had the BCS for 12 teams. You put the best 12 teams in there on paper. You know, you take that human factor out instead of saying, oh, we need to throw an SEC team in there because we have a Pac-12, a Big Ten, a Big 12. Who are we going to leave out, an SEC team or an ACC team? Oh, let's go SEC team because that's our bread and butter. That's who our main money makers are, is SEC teams. So you can't tell me that money wasn't a persuasive factor in that, because it looks like it was. And a lot of Bama fans are going to be upset if they're listening to this or whatnot. But but you can't really tell me that if you done what was right, who should have got in. By the criteria that they put forwards before the year even starts, who fits that criteria better? And you can say all you want, they put the best four teams in there. They put the best four teams in there. But they did what was wrong by everybody's standards. So
do you think they put an asterisk by this?
I say Florida State hangs a banner like UCF. Get this though. What if, this is a big what if, what if FSU comes in and beats Georgia?
Yeah.
What do you do then? Say, hey, you didn't think we could hang, we just beat. That could be the only motivation I see them not boycotting.
Right.
Is if they really think they can come out and win.
Right.
And I know they're not going to be a favorite. I know Georgia, once again, has been the number one team. You're going to be playing the number one team that should have been, or has been there all year. But then again, like you said, there's a lot of players that aren't playing in bowl games anymore, because I think McCaffrey started that at Stanford, first one to sit out. Shoot, I don't blame him. He's playing for a non-playoff. They didn't have playoffs then. They wasn't in the top-ranked two teams, or two teams play for a national championship. Why get hurt when you got all this money set out in front of you to go to NFL?
Yep.
Now you got a bunch of players sitting out. Do you really get a true bowl game matchup that you would in a conference champion or a regular season game?
Want to know how you combat that?
How?
Stop paying the players.
Yeah.
So, or tell them, hey, you want this money, you have to play the bowl game.
Yes. All your NILs get held until you do play. But then again, now, how you going to make a player do that, though? Like,
Now, if it's some Hyundai Elantra Equinox Bowl, okay, whatever. Odds are both teams are 7-6 or, okay, that's different. Or if you're, say, you're a Liberty and you're going in and playing a Georgia who didn't make it, Georgia can be a little mad.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell if you're playing in the Avocado from Mexico Cure Bowl or the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, one of those I can understand. Isleta New Mexico Bowl?
Starco Brands.
Radiance Technology Independence Bowl. Ooh. They should at least come up with something like nifty about it. Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. Woo. All right, I'm going to end on that one. But I think the repercussions from NIL are going to be long term, and they're not going to start coming out until, they're already coming out this year, but to get the pay for play, what coach said it, but he said a good quarterback in the portal is going to cost you $1 million to $2 million. From Nebraska. Said it's going to cost you $1 to $2 million for a good quarterback to come to your school, which credit to the players. Go get the money, man. If they're going to allow it, go get the money. My frustration is more towards the NCAA for letting it happen. But I think players do deserve some compensation. We don't know what that would look like, either free tuition for 4 years, give everybody full rides, or put NIL in a bank and divvy it out among all players, something like that. But to give an independent player that much money for just switching schools, there's going to be no loyalty.
No.
Any year you can lose anybody. I think OU is losing like 5 players to the portal. Gabriel's leaving. He might go Mississippi State with
5-7. Yeah.
Yeah, with the offensive coordinator.
There's some stupid. Was it like 140 players put their names in the?
No, there was like a lot more than that. It was like maxed out, crazy number.
Something stupid.
I thought I had it here, but I guess I didn't. This is pretty funny. It says, report, Caleb Williams not playing because he was denied partial ownership of the Holiday Bowl. So, thought that was pretty funny. But, no, there was like there was twice as many that did last year.
So, while we're talking about Florida State and all that, let's kind of shift gears. How about what Stephen A. Smith said?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell him.
If Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, was the coach of Florida State Seminoles, they would have made the college football playoff. Hands down, no questions asked, without thinking.
What do you mean by that, Stephen A.? What do you mean? Is it the exciting factor that he brings?
Is it because he was a Seminole? Is it? No, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, so,
I don't care for Stephen A. I don't like him. I don't know why he has to scream at everything he does, why he has to talk over everybody. Why does he even think he has to be relevant in what goes on?
Wasn't he a basketball analyst for, the longest time?
Something.
He did newspapers of basketball, NBA?
Yeah.
He is loud. Every time I hear him, I got to change the channel. It's just a different, I think the louder he thinks he is, the more right he is. And it's just like, dude, you're just loud. I don't want to hear it. Says there was in 2022, there were nearly 1,300 undergraduates to transfer.
Cool.
1,300.
Well, I knew I saw 1 in 3 in there somewhere.
Yeah, 1,300. So, but yeah. Oh, he also, speaking of Deion, how about him getting Sports Illustrated player or Sportsman of the Year? So, what is the criteria for Sportsman of the Year? I mean,
the exciting factor,
I guess. I mean, granted, he did make a excitement factor about Colorado, a 1-11 Colorado, and he did have a better season. He made a better season to 4-8.
Well, they quadrupled their wins. Okay, so what? Their most exciting win was against TCU. Well, we see how their year's been.
Mm-hmm.
There, he got them just because of that and another win and top 25 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And by cup of coffee, I mean, literally a drop.
Yes.
and then it was downhill. You know, you're supposed to have all of this stuff. Well, it didn't quite turn. He had players moaning and groaning to each other. There was speculation coming out that he was having Chador throw balls away or take intentional grounding, so he wasn't taking sacks. He was taking sacks instead of the incompletions.
Hurting his QBR or whatever.
And so he wasn't hurting all that and bettering his chances for the Heisman. Yeah. I mean, so if you watch games, all that makes sense, but you can't point fingers. I mean, I think he's only doing this for his two sons to watch them play, to help them grow, to help their chances in the NFL, then he's done.
If that's what you want to do as a father, I can understand that. But what's the criteria to get Sportsman of the Year? I mean, he did bring an aura he brought a buzz to college football. He's probably one of the biggest hires, like buzz wise, to get so much credit or flow. You know, like the season tickets for Colorado was like $20 a seat. Now it's $400-something a seat or something. Yeah. They got a new Jumbotron. They got this and that. They were a big hype. But I mean, you can't tell me that there wasn't another player in any sport to get Sportsman of the Year. To go back on our transfer portal, I found the information on it. NCAA players entered the transfer portal on the first day of the window opening. 1,184 players entered the portal on the first day that it was open. So
okay, so I undershot it a little bit.
Yeah, undershot it just a hair.
Maybe that was like the first second was like 130. But okay, Sportsman of the Year.
Let's see what you got.
From what the Googles says. The athlete or team whose performance that year most embodies the spirit of sportsmanship and achievement.
So when he came in, he got rid of half the team?
By saying your career here is done, find somewhere else.
Okay, check.
by walking out of news conferences or ignoring people, if they didn't call him Coach Prime. Check. They called him Dion or anything else, he wouldn't answer and he'd walk away.
Didn't know that. Now, I do give him credit. I've seen some videos where he'll bring people in and talk to his players about, you know, how to treat a lady. He does run. He does run a tight ship, and I give him credit for that.
Respect your mama.
The way he coaches his kids, the way he wants them to answer to authority, you know, this and that, in a coaching situation, I get that. But it's just one of those to where Sportsman of the Year just seemed like, once again, you did it by the eye test. Who's the biggest hype? Who's going to get you the most money? You know, who are you going to give it to? I'm not saying that he wasn't deserving. I'm just saying that, and I don't even have anybody in the who would take that spot. But I'm just saying it just feels like whoever they gave the most media attention to, who got the Sportsman of the Year. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So because congrats to him though. Congrats to him. We'll give credit where credit's due. If they want to give it to him, he's not going to turn it down. You know, I'd accept it if somebody wanted to give me for an honor. So. Congrats to him. Just didn't know what the criteria was until you read it. So,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, good for him for being the excitement factor in Division I this year. Uh-huh. You know, I get it, but once again, is it because that was actually that, or is it for the name?
Yeah,
is it for the money? It, you know, it's
yeah. It's one of those where the name, you know, you give them the most, attention. They're gonna put their name in the hat easier. It's gonna be easier to pick them. Nobody's gonna bat an eye saying, "Oh, well, he was the Sportsman," because guess what? He was on every channel for the first 4 weeks of the season. Oh, I was like, I love the guy watching him coach. How excited he gets! But then it was just annoying how much they showed of him, you know. And it's not like the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift thing. It's like, okay, we get it. Yeah. We get it, you know. Like
it's old news now.
Yeah, it was fun for one game, but now, you know, 12 games, it's like, man.
That's painful watching.
Kicking a dead horse.
Yeah, it's painful watching Brittany Mahomes trying to be her best friend, too.
Oh, you got to know. You got to know that that's just, oh. Yeah, you got to know that she's just like, oh, my gosh, just make it through the game. Make it through the game. So that is cringe.
So while we're talking about awards, let's shift to the Heisman.
Yes.
Let's shift it over to the Heisman. What?
Five pick. I think five going to New York for the Heisman. Bo Nix, from Oregon, Penix from Washington. You got Jay. Yeah, you have Jaden Daniels from LSU.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison. There was a fifth one. Jalen Milroe made it in from Alabama.
What?
Yeah, that's the top five I just pulled up today from ESPN that were invited, even though his stats are donkey. So
of course it's Alabama.
Yeah, with Jaden Daniels, he's expected odds favorite to win it. His stats are 3,812 passing yards with 50 total TDs, 1,134 rushing yards, and 4 interceptions. Penix from Washington, his stats are 4,218 yards passing, 36 total TDs with a 65.9 completion percentage, and only 9 interceptions thrown. I think Bo Nix suffered a little bit from losing twice to Penix. His passing yards was 4,145. 46 total TDs with a 77% completion rating and only 3 interception, 1 thrown in the conference tournament or championship game. Then you got Jaden Milroe from Bama with a whopping 2,718 passing yards,
you know,
which
is
half.
Overall?
What?
Number 41.
41 overall?
Yes, he's number 20. Shedeur Sanders.
Huh. Well, he's got 35 total TDs, 468 rushing yards, and 6 interceptions. So, he's got half, almost half passing yards than Bo Nix. He's got 10 less total touchdowns. And then it doesn't show his rushing yards. Let's see his rushing yards compared to Penix. Penix is, nope, sorry. Rushing yards for Daniels is 1,134. And Milroe's is 468 with 6 interceptions.
And granted, I know he got benched for half a game.
Yeah.
That's still a massive difference.
You're still down a lot of runs or a lot of yards. And then you got old Marvin Harris Jr. from Ohio State, wide receiver, the only non-quarterback to go with 1,211 receiving yards, 15 total touchdowns, 67 receptions, and 18.1 yards per catch. His current odds are plus 15,000 to win it. So he's at your bottom.
The ninth best receiver this year.
Okay, you got the list for the other ones, or at least
yeah, I think an LSU player, Malik Nabers, 86 receptions, 1,546 yards, 14 TDs, was number one. Where's his nod? Is it because his last name isn't Harrison and his first name's not Marvin?
Yeah, they. Granted, kids that come from guys that do play in the league do have that sense of, you know, readiness and talent wise and whatnot. But to blatantly leave out, I'd just say put the number one position in each position and send them to New York for the Heisman.
So tell me, how do you not have a running back? Ollie Gordon II, Oklahoma State. 1,614 yards, 20 touchdowns. And that's several games where he almost eclipsed 200 yards rushing.
Who's second in running back? Read their stats just to compare.
Let's see. This young man, Kimani Vidal. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
Who does he play at?
Troy.
Okay.
Troy Trojans. 1,582 yards, 14 touchdowns.
So 6 less touchdowns. 600 yards less. So you're separating one from two with 600 less yards rushing and 6 touchdowns less. And that's not even a Power 5 conference.
Nope. The next Power 5 is number 3. Last name Schrader from Missouri. 1,489 yards, 13 touchdowns.
7 TDs less and 600 yards less. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know why you don't put, you know, one of each. Or if you have an extra QB that's dominant, you know. But then again, you should be able to look at, you know, like Bo Nix and Penix, you know, choose one of those.
Yeah.
So if Penix beat, you go by win-loss, Penix beat him twice. But if you go by stats, you know, they're pretty equal, you know, mm-hmm. or just keep Daniel in there as your lone quarterback.
But, well, I mean, but Daniels didn't even throw over 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
The other two did.
Yeah.
And they were separated by 73 yards.
Yeah, you had Bo Nix with 4,145 yard, passing yards, and then Penix by 4,218.
But then you go, okay, Penix was sacked 10 times, Nix 5. Interceptions, Nix 3, Penix 9.
Total TDs, 36 Penix, Bo Nix 46. And Bo Nix has a higher passing percentage completion.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to say 60-plus yards passing more qualifies him as a better QB than total touchdowns, completion passes, and less interceptions, now we're getting into the Florida State Bama discussion again.
Yeah, I mean, it's the criteria in which they use things is frustrating. And I'm not trying to take away from, is it Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take away from his year that he had. Electrifying player. Do not get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But.
His stats, 3,800 passing yards, 50 total TDs. So he even passes Bo Nix by 4 rushing yards. I think that's what separates him. I don't know Bo Nix's rushing yards or Penix is rushing yards. I think Bo Nix has got some good rushing yards. They just put his completion passing on here.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels only has 4 interceptions. So, I mean, I would put Bo Nix and Daniel up there before I'd put Penix. Yeah, Penix had better wins. Granted, and he looks really good back there. Like, dude's got a cannon. I think all 3 of them do. But then why put Milroe in there? You got 3 stud quarterbacks right there and say, hey, let's throw in Bama's quarterback.
You want to know why? Because he ran off the field saying, give me that Heisman after the Auburn championship.
Yeah, I laughed at that.
In which one of the plays was an incomplete pass and they scored 2 plays later.
For a 30-yard Hail Mary to win against Auburn.
Yeah. I mean, did they tell that cornerback they'd give him a couple grand if he just kind of – didn't pay attention?
It did look like a push-off a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you could argue. But at that late a game, should never be that open or get more pressure on him.
My deal is like, okay, yes, I get officials make bad calls. I get it. It's in both sides of the game, everywhere. But when you can see clearly that a ball hits the ground and rolls, mm-hmm. and you call it complete and still review it and call it complete,
yeah,
and then 2-3 plays later you score, that's the difference in a game. Either that or you get a huge third down stop in which you tackle the guy from the front of his shoulder pads and throw him sideways, but they call it horse collar.
Yeah, it's clearly so that he grabbed the jersey. And that's not reviewable, is it?
I don't
think that was reviewable. Why not? If you've got so much stuff reviewable, why can't you just make everything in a big game reviewable?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we don't want to make it so long, this and that. Well, we'll cut the commercials.
Yeah.
You got 10 hours of commercials mm-hmm. in between every – you got a time TV timeout every second touchdown, you know. Cut those down and have more reviews. Make the game more real, you know, where you got the right call every time.
Or every score, you don't need to review it. Mm-hmm. We obviously know he caught it with nobody around him and crossed the goal line.
Yeah.
Well, we got to make sure that he maintained control over the goal line. What?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of rules, brings me to one you wanted to talk about. The pass, fumble,
the quote unquote Tom Brady hand tuck rule, whatever you want to call it. The rule that they made up when they were playing the Raiders.
No game.
And then Brady came out and said, well, they didn't call it a fumble, but I mean, I think it was a fumble. Yeah. If the arm is going for, I mean, there has to be a point in which, okay, if the arm extending, but if it's coming forward a little bit and the lineman clearly knocks the ball out of your hand, clearly knocks it out, that's a fumble. And the ball goes straight sideways. That's a fumble. Will Levis did it in the Tennessee game against the Colts. Arms going forward, gets knocked out. Colts pick it up, drop it. He recovers his own fumble 15 yards downfield. How's that not an incomplete pass?
Yeah.
I think the same thing happened in a different game that evening. But they called that one a fumble.
So is the rule if the arm is moving forwards mm-hmm. with the ball
mm-hmm.
as it gets knocked out is incomplete pass?
Yep.
And you're saying it should be if it's not released.
Right. Like if you haven't gone through your full throwing motion.
Yeah.
I get it. A quarterback is coming and he tries to pull it down.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that motion coming forward is hard to stop. And it comes out of your hand. Okay. That's like a pass. You don't know intent. You don't know if he was trying to check. You don't know where he's trying to throw, if he's actually trying to bring it down.
Yeah.
Every quarterback that happens. Yeah. I was trying to pull it down. I was trying to throw it. That's an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to say, oh, I fumbled that.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad.
No, anybody in their right mind wouldn't. Yeah. But I know, to me, that play, that Oregon-Washington play, Penix got hit, ball went straight sideways, Oregon scooped it.
I didn't watch it for sure. Was it the hand of the defenseman that hit the ball that turned it sideways, or was it when he hit his arm, it shot off sideways?
The defender hit the ball.
Hit the ball.
Yeah. It was like ball and palm.
That's a tough one. I feel like I don't know where would you stop the call if the ball was released? Because right now it's
the ball is still behind his head.
Yeah. So right now the call is if the arm is even moving forwards,
yes.
And the defenseman hits him, it's a fumble.
Yes.
Or incomplete pass. Sorry. Yeah, that could have been a game changer for Oregon. Washington went up.
I think 3 plays later they scored on that.
Washington went up big, and then Oregon was making a comeback, and I think that was during a play where Washington needed a good drive to put kind of snub out that comeback.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, that's been a iffy call. I mean, there's been a bunch of iffy calls that could have gone one way or the other. There seem to be a lot more of those fumbles or throws, incomplete passes come up lately. But it's one of those two, though, where if they set the rule, stick with it through all levels of field, you know,
yeah,
no matter what. And I mean,
one game can't have it called this way, and another game have it called this way.
Well, that's where
that's just a bad look.
Yes,
that's a bad interpretation of the rule. Okay, how are these guys misinterpreting it this way, and they're interpreting it this way?
Especially if it goes to review, and they send it to New York or wherever their thing is. If they have their main hub, and they come up with two different answers for the same play, that's what's the problem. You know, like, it should be like, hey, why didn't we get the same guys that called this one to call this one the same thing? You know, they should stick to the same thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's another thing. College football needs to be changed. There was a thing that I saw that was pretty funny where Mike Leach, rest in peace, Mike Leach, a legend, the Pirate, talked about the first playoffs that was coming in. He said, let's look at high school football. Mm-hmm. How does they got it set up? Oh, they got a more than 14 playoff system. He said, but that's just high school. Well, let's look at D2, D3, or whatever, how they got set up. They're superior to D1, mighty D1. Let's see how they got set up. Oh, you tell me they got a 12-team playoff, you know? Let's go there. And then he goes, but no, we decided to do 4. But let's look at NFL, the mighty NFL. He says, sounds good to come off the lips, you know? You can say that all you want. Let's see how they got their playoff system. Oh, you mean to tell me the best 6 teams from each, or how, what is it, 12? Is it 12-team for NFL?
I think so.
It's more than 4.
Yeah.
They said, oh, they got more than 4. Yeah. So what it makes us think that 4 is going to work as a playoff to even try it once? You know, if they're going to do a college football playoff, they've been doing it since, what, 2013, 12, somewhere there?
Yeah.
That you would want to go 4 team instead of at least 8, you know, or 12 that they're doing, or like you said, 16. Why 4? You know, you're going to have that trouble with 5th and 6th ranked team that they did this year. Which, thank goodness, it is the last year to do it. We're going to go to the 12 team where top 4 have a bye, bottom 8 going to battle it up, and then they reseed to see who fights who. So, like you said, that would have been cool if they went to an 8 team this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could have done a play-in. I don't know how fair that would have been, you know, where 2 teams just battling out that should have been in there anyways.
Or no, like, that was just like a lot of, like, sports people saying, like, well, let's just have them do a play-in. Like, well, that's funny. Texas and Alabama already did. If it came down to that 4 spot, Texas gets it.
Yeah.
Going off the criteria.
Yeah.
Oh, guess they have a stronger streak to schedule between those 2 teams. Texas.
So, the ideal of if they would have got it right would have been Michigan 1, Washington 2, Florida State 3, Texas 4.
Yep.
Washington playing FSU, Texas playing Michigan.
Yep.
So, yeah, I just don't. Like you said, there's going to be an argument till the end of days. You're going to have to do now. All the, have you seen those? All the ESPN analysts are vouching for the CFP. You know, they're all taking their side saying they did what was right, especially what's the bold guy, Melrose, or not Melrose. He does all the draft analysts.
Yeah.
What's his name? He's coming in hot. I'm like, dude.
I try to forget all those guys.
I'm like, dude, you probably never played past high school. You probably didn't even play high school.
You couldn't even crack a peewee.
But he's like coming in hot, like angry that defending, you know, I just think that they're all getting paid to say what. To ease the pain, especially with all the college football playoff committees now coming out saying, they're saying it was a tough decision. We knew it was going to be a hard one, but we just went with this and that. I'm like, it'd have been best if you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Right now you're just adding peroxide to an open wound right now by opening
it. Making it worse.
Yes. So I'm like, just let it go. Let them just lick their wounds. And I just, like I said, I feel bad for the coach at FSU. It's just one of those where you do everything right, and then what do you tell your players after that?
Do you even overcome the adversity of losing your stud QB and then your second string who's no slouch? Mm-hmm. And you're playing with a true freshman, and you win your conference champion.
Yep, he goes and beats Louisville. That's a 10th ranked. They were no slouch. They ran the table. Losing only to Pittsburgh, which they shouldn't have, and then beat Notre Dame. So, I mean, they're no slouch either. So, I don't know what you do. What do you tell your players? How do you overcome that to go play a Georgia now? And,
I mean, what do you say?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they just didn't show up, come out to the coin toss, and just nobody shows up.
Yeah. Or what do you do if... You know, you have them all come out for the coin toss. And then as soon as it's done.
Locker room.
Yeah.
Man. The only reason I'd feel bad for that, not for all the sponsors, would be the fans that came all that way. Well, and
in that case, you'd almost have to refund the money.
Yeah.
Because the game didn't happen.
Maybe. That'd be the facility and all that. We'd have to pay for.
ESPN is divvying up that money to pay it back.
I mean, if that was the case, I'm all for it. I'm here for it. Let's just finish up with the bowl games and kind of some predictions, what we're thinking. I guess we'll go with the New Year's Bowls, what do they call them? Top 12 or whatever?
New Year's 6.
Is it 6 of them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we'll go with, we're not going to say that one. No one cares about that one. Capital One Orange Bowl, Georgia versus Florida State. The sorry you didn't get put in, let's play each other bowl. And this is the argument too, is where you say, well, I think Georgia's gonna win this one, you know.
Yeah.
But then you're like, well, see, why would you put FSU in if you know Georgia's gonna beat them? Well, like I said, we don't know. There could be an upset, but what's right, put Florida State in. But in this game, you got to go with Georgia. I mean, they're number one for 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Lose one game.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, Florida State passes the flashy eye test. Georgia passes the I'm just going to stomp it down your throat eye test. They're an NFL system type team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are clearly going to be the favorites. I think in that SEC championship game, they're the favorites every time. They're going to win 9 out of 10 times. That's just my feelings on it.
Yeah. So we got Georgia winning that one, Capital One Orange Bowl. That wouldn't be a top 6 bowl, would it? What are the top 6 bowls? I mean, we go
take a look.
What, Liberty, Oregon, undefeated Liberty playing Oregon in the VRBO Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. I haven't heard anything or watched anything about Liberty. I couldn't tell you anything about their team other than they're undefeated. They did what the Roadrunners, I always get them wrong, Arlington or San Antonio, UTSA, almost did. They almost went undefeated. What James Madison almost did going undefeated, which, by the way, congrats to James Madison, got in on a bowl game. They weren't bowl eligible, but due to
not enough teams being 6-6 or better record. They needed 82 of them out of the for the 41 bowls. They didn't have enough teams eligible, so they brought James Madison into play. So congrats to them.
You know what you call that?
What?
Poetic justice.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Couldn't tell you what bowl they're in. But yeah, like you said, all these bowl games aren't really going to matter anymore if you got half your players sitting out. You know, you got Louisville playing USC, you know, is if Caleb's sitting out, does it help or hurt his draft stock, you know, or does that mean he's coming back next year? You don't really know with these bowl games. They've gotten a little less prestigious. It used to be to where it was a prestigious thing to do to get into this bowl game and play. But now it's kind of, which I understand people are looking at for their best interests. I don't want to get hurt to make it to the draft. So let's not risk it.
The New Year's Six. Obviously, you have your Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, you know, the Michigan, Bama, Washington, Texas.
Yeah.
Fiesta Bowl, Oregon, Liberty. Orange Bowl, Florida State, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Peach Bowl, Penn State, Ole Miss.
Okay, who you got on that one?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss? I would like just to see SEC teams lose, just to prove the fact that SEC is not that many. You know, Ole Miss is probably going to win, but
I mean,
they've been up there all year. I mean, what'd they lose? Two or three games there at the end? Michigan, yeah. Ohio State, and then probably ended third in the Big Ten.
But just all the crap that happened there, I cannot come back to being on your side.
Yeah.
And they're just obnoxious.
Yeah.
I mean, I play up in that part of the country for years, and they're just obnoxious.
Yeah.
But it's a good college atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. So, James Madison's playing Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas, in the Lockheed Martin Armed Force Bowl on December 23rd. So, congrats to them. Cotton Bowl, who you got?
Ohio State, Missouri.
Ohio State and Missouri. Oh, man. Missouri's been, like I said, the surprise of the year for me. Not being unranked and then coming up being in the top 10, only losing to maybe a Georgia and one other ranked team. I can't remember, LSU, no, somewhere in there. But so we got Missouri and Ohio State. Man, Ohio State's another team that had an argument to get in, you know, where they only lose one game against the top two team.
Yeah, screw them.
I know. I feel that's how I feel. I'm trying to be unbiased here. That's how I feel, but. Then again, they had an argument, too. They're a one-loss team. Yeah. Non-conference winner.
But they didn't make their conference champion.
But they didn't make their conference champion. So
bye-bye.
Yeah. So, they're on the very far outskirts looking in. They needed a lot to happen.
Yes.
A lot more chaos to happen for them to get in. Maybe a Michigan lose. Maybe a
Everybody
Florida
lose.
State lose. Texas lose. Maybe Georgia beat Bama, so Bama doesn't jump them, you know? So maybe a Georgia, Iowa, Louisville, a lot to happen. So they're on the outskirts looking in. Their playoff started with their Michigan game.
Okay, Washington lose.
Yeah, Washington lose. So their playoff started with their last week playing against Michigan. So who you got there with the Mizzou, Ohio State?
I know the favorite's going to be Ohio State, but I got to take Missouri.
Yeah.
Even though it goes against your SEC list. But.
Yeah, I know. But I'll take one win to beat Ohio State. So, I don't know. Man, Ohio State did look good against Michigan. But then again, we'll see how good Michigan is when they play Bama.
Didn't Michigan lose, like, a cornerback and their main offensive lineman?
They did lose a lineman. Broke leg. That was a pretty gruesome one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, but... Should that drop them out of the top four for losing that?
If it's a main lineman, I mean, that's a main player, right?
It's their main lineman, so they should drop them out of the top four because they lost their main lineman. But no, all jokes aside, I'll go – you said Mizzou? I'll go with Ohio State just because you went Mizzou, only because you went Mizzou. But I'll probably root for Mizzou. But if I root for Ohio State, that means Mizzou will win, so I'll root for Ohio State. Right, so.
Fair enough.
Liberty, Oregon, we already talked about that one. Oregon's probably going to stomp them, but that would be cool if Liberty beat them. Uh-huh. That would be cool. That would be a cool upset. And then what was the last one?
Cotton Bowl. No, that was the Ohio State, Missouri.
Oh, that was.
Florida State, Georgia.
Yeah, we had that one. Okay, going into the Big Four. You got one versus four, Michigan, Bama.
Michigan.
man, I hope you're right, man. I
don't care anybody against Bama.
Yeah. Bama's just been playing so good recently, which is why they got in. That's why they say they got in, because they're playing so good. But then again, you go to the Auburn game, they had a rough one. Barely, or the Georgia game, in their defense, did look in control for most of the game. I didn't get to watch all of it, but I came in like fourth quarter, and they were up like 27-10. And then Bama scored like 10 points or something, 14 points unanswered to make it close. But, man, I just hope they get stomped. Like, I hope it's like a double-digit point game. It's going to be a lot closer because never put Saban behind the eight ball with his coaching ability. It's going to come down to probably the last possession, and hopefully Michigan kicks field goal to win it. And then our last one, we'll end on this one. The last one is, or we got two more, so we'll say Texas, Washington.
Hook 'em.
Man, being an OU fan, I start to root for Texas, man. I'll go with Penix.
Hey, okay, they stomped my Cowboys.
I know.
I'm still going with UT.
I know, but being from Oklahoma, I just can't root for them. I was rooting for OSU in the Big 12.
That was another thing.
For me, as an OU fan, I saw all these OU fans rooting for Texas over OSU, and I was like, really? I said, you don't like OSU that much that you're like, most OSU has got Oklahoma players in it. Mostly got Oklahoma players in it. And I'd be rooting for them just because it's just in-state stuff. So I'm going to go Washington. I like Penix, the way they handled Oregon.
Big Penix energy.
So for me, it would be Washington, Michigan. And I've been saying this from day one. I've been rooting for Michigan to win it all. That was my top pick, right? Mm-hmm. To win it all. I'm going to stick with Michigan to win it all. I'm going to go 38-35 Michigan.
Okay.
So you know, I
got Texas and Michigan in the championship. Watch, it's going to be completely off.
It's going to be none of the above. None of the above. So if you're betting person, bet whatever opposite we said.
I'm going Texas, Michigan. I'm going Texas. Man,
I never hear the end of that.
31-24.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so we got Texas and Michigan winners. So bet opposite. if you got any kind of money, bet opposite. So
you're wanting either Alabama, Texas, Alabama, Washington, or
okay. Answer me this: if you did have Bama in there, who would give Bama the biggest problem to winning another national championship?
Either one.
Yeah.
Texas is sore in a heartbeat, and Washington is a freaking track meet.
Yes. Yeah, and they look good against Oregon first half. Yeah. Man, they look real good.
Yeah, and if Washington's defense gets a stop or two, as quick as they can score, they can turn it around and, you're down 14 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But I think overall, Texas will wear them down just because Sarkisian has those boys ready to play, has them in shape, has them just hungry because he knows what it takes to play in the SEC.
Yeah. Well, granted, if Texas does win, then we could say that OU beat the national champion. Was that game? That was a blast. Can't take that out, man. That'd be a memory forever. But
so does that mean you'll get the Razor Banner too?
We should. We should. We're the only team to beat the national championship team.
Hey, Texas, y'all go ahead and send that up.
Send the bottom half of it, and we'll take it. So
if Bama wins, Texas will do the same thing, right?
They could.
Yeah. So even if they lose, like, hey, y'all still got to
show. How wild would that be? Is that Texas, Bama face each other again and be like, well, we've already beat you, but you beat us just the game that, you know, like that's yeah. just, that's
you know, that they face each other again.
Yeah, best of three.
And Texas double digits them again. How funny would that be?
Texas probably like, let's go play in Tuscaloosa. We play better there.
Hey, we'll let you have your home.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Sugar Bowls, that's in New Orleans. Never mind. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought someone said something like the Texas, Washington had to come down to like Texas territory or something. But then the final one will be
in Houston.
So if Texas makes it, that's in their backyard for the national championship. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Like I said, CFP set a dangerous precedent of what they expect. You know, 13-0, undefeated conference champions, not safe, not even safe. So
we'll see how that ripple affects to the next few years. I know with 12 teams coming in next year, take a little heat off. But I think that they're going to be not held to the same standard as once they were before this decision was made.
Yep. So, for sure.
I know it was a little college heavy, but we made it work. We're in, like I said, in a parking lot.
It's what we planned on too. You know, we had an episode solely for this because of the massive screw up.
This had enough for us to talk about for one episode. So hopefully we can get back together next time I come down to DFW. We might get here a little earlier and shoot another one. I will bring my microphone next time.
What day are you coming down?
21st.
21st. I mean, you know,
should be C shift.
Oh, guess who's off?
You should be off.
This guy.
Yeah, because it's C shift. I wouldn't be driving down here if it was A shift.
You never know. I mean, as much as you exchange.
True. Yeah, I'm going to be working like 11 out of the 14 days my wife's gone. So time go by and all the above. So, yeah. So we're going to end it on that, man. I got to get home. I got about a 5-hour drive ahead of me. So it's not too late. I can make it back at a decent time, then work tomorrow. And then I'm taking an OT the next day. So I'll be there 48. Yeah. Self-inflicted, so I can't complain.
If you know you're good at this, but to get forced,
I'm gonna get like 4 or 5 OTs in before Christmas, man. We get a 3-day pay period, or three pay periods in 1 month. So get ahead for the beginning of the year and pay for that trip that she's on that I don't get to go to. So I don't see how that works. She said,
"Oh, that's just unfair." Well, you got to go to one.
Yeah,
but not two.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll end it on that, man. It's fun getting down here, doing it in person. I wish we lived close enough to where we could do every episode in person.
You know, you can always just come down to Fort Worth.
Yeah, I've tried that, and that
you would be fast tracked.
I know, but
no, I'm just saying you would be fast tracked.
I think future wise, I got free dog care and maybe future child care that lives 5 minutes from me.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna rush.
Yeah, that's fine. It would be fun, but I don't know. We'll see.
By the time you got down here, I'll be an officer. You know, I'll just...
Yeah.
Hey, come here, slave.
Yeah, just come here. Come work for me. Yeah.
So. Come work for me, and you can do whatever you want.
There you go.
Bring your dog up here.
Okay. There you go. Oh, he'd love it. Yeah. Love it.
He's our station mascot.
All you need is a laser. Dude's like a cat. He follows a laser around like a cat, and then he's your best friend. Even though he is a German Shepherd and seems intimidating, he had a laser, your best friend. So, shout out to Baron. Made the podcast. So,
heck yeah.
We'll wrap it up with that. Thanks again for joining us. If you are a continuous listener, we appreciate you and listening. Hopefully our content's good enough for you to keep listening. And if it is good enough, share it with some buddies. Send us to some. Our TikTok's been blown up, man. We've been getting some good videos on there, some controversy stuff with some injuries and photos, videos, all that stuff.
Send us questions. Send us stuff. You know, is there something you want us to talk about or mention or, you know, discuss? Send it to us. Don't be shy.
Find us on Instagram and direct message us on there. You can message on. Yeah, message on TikTok. High Heat Podcast on both of those. We do have an email, but I don't think I've checked it in about 4 or 5 months. So I might need to get on that.
We may have questions.
You may have questions on there. Let's have a look at highheatpodcast@yahoo.com, I think is what we did. Just share us with other people, man. We love talking to new people, getting, like I said, the more people we can reach to, the what we're trying to reach to. And if we have 5 that listen all the time, I think it's worth it. So
share us, you know, repost us. Find something, put it on your page. You know, help us get out there. We love doing this. I mean, shoot, dude, we'll broaden our horizons and get back into golf. And I mean, nobody really wants to cover basketball unless it's March Madness. But, you know.
We do have some basketball stuff, but I haven't watched a single NBA game. We need to at least dip our toes in the water. We'll have some more with NBA stuff.
I just like watching LeBron get a tech for flopping.
Love it. Best new rule ever.
Yes.
Best La Flop. So, yeah, we'll end it on that, man. Appreciate you driving up to meet me. It would have been a long haul for a little bit longer, so I get a little shorter drive back home. But, yeah, long road back home. We'll try to get another one soon. Thanks for listening, guys, to another episode of High Heat.
We'll see y'all later. Have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All the above.
God bless.